and let them touch his bread, but distributed a slice to each of them, which they were forced to accept uncomplainingly.
So, you wanted to sing, did you? All right, but I don't sing any of your idiotic tunes about spirituality, so you're gonna have to learn my songs.
And what's your song?
Goes like this. Well, it's been lonesome in the saddle since my horse died.
And on the meal went, with the peasant taunting and abusing the Baal Shem Tov and his Hasidim. And they were helpless all through the meal. When it came time to serve the main course, the innkeeper shoved towards them a big bowl of salty brown beans. One bowl for himself, and one for his guests. While the Hasidim were still trying to figure out how to eat this slop without a spoon, the innkeeper was busy pouring it down his gullet so fast that it dripped out of the sides of his mouth and onto his lap.
Don't you think it's time to recite the blessing after the meals?
The Baal Shem asked his host.
Don't you think it's time to recite the blessing after the meals? There! That's your blessing after the meals!
And with that, the peasant got up and brought some filthy rags to the Hasidim to use as sheets. And with a snort, he went to his bed. The poor Hasidim shivered until they were able to fall asleep that night. And when they awoke before dawn, their host was already standing in the middle of his prayers. He was barefoot, singing Goyish drinking tunes, his pendulous belly swinging to and fro above his trousers. Throughout the entire day, the host heaped insults and derisive comments on his guests, making them wonder how a Jew could be so cruel. When it came time for the third meal, and the Baal Shem Tov meekly asked for a crumb of bread for the meal, the host's insults rose to new heights of crudeness.
Why, you fat, greedy fanatic, I oughta...
Until finally, Shabbos ended, and their torture could end with it, so they thought.
Hey, preacher, bring your boys over to the table for a little after-Sabbath snack.
And the peasant forced them to sit at the table with him until 2 a.m, cursing and insulting them all the while until they collapsed into their beds from exhaustion. When morning came,
Master, maybe we can leave this terrible place now and get on our way.
Whoa, not so fast, boy. You come to this here table and sit and eat breakfast.
And the student rushed to the door in an attempt to escape the cottage, but the peasant blocked the door.
You try something like that again, boy, and I'll have your head on a spike.
I think you'd better just listen to our kind, gracious host and trust the good Lord to bring this whole experience to its conclusion.
Attaboy, preacher. Now you just sit right on down here and eat your grits.
And with that, the innkeeper cast before the Baal Shem Tov and his disciples the same unwashed bowls that they'd eaten from the night before, filled with a lukewarm, greenish slop. The Hasidim paced back and forth all that day, waiting for some sign from heaven that this grisly ordeal would finally come to an end. But night fell, and it was then too dangerous to travel the thick forest, and they were forced to remain yet another night in the home of this coarse barbarian. Finally, on the fourth day, after much begging and pleading on the part of his guests, the peasant innkeeper made an accounting of all his guests owed him.
But that's all the money we have.
Just be glad we have a chance to leave this nightmare.
But much to their chagrin, the peasant insisted on accompanying them part of the way.
Maybe he wants to take us deep in the forest, and then he'll kill us, God forbid. Just look at that demented expression on his face.
Just then, when they didn't know what to do, a door in the corner of the cottage suddenly opened, and a young woman emerged.
What the... I never would have dreamed that someone else lived here, and a young lady no less, out in the middle of nowhere.
The young lady turned toward the Baal Shem Tov and spoke.
Wouldn't you please do us the honor of staying one more Shabbos?
After the experience of the last 4 days, the last thing the poor, tired Hasidim wanted was to be trapped with that savage for another Shabbos.
Well, we actually must be on our way now.
Yes, you see, back home, the Hasidic masters are giving a seminar on splitting seas, and if we're late, they might start without us.
But Rebbe, don't you remember me?
Sora asked the holy Baal Shem.
How could you know that I am a Rebbe? I don't recognize you. I don't think I've ever seen you before.
Oh, I assure you that you most definitely have seen me. I am Sora the maid. I used to work in your home. Your wife took me in, seeing that I was a poor orphan with no one to care for me.
Yes, yes. Now I do remember, but I still don't understand. Is this man holding you hostage as well?
No, nothing of the sort. I will finish my story, and then you will understand. You see, when your wife first took me in, I was full of sores and lice. The Rebenson would wash and comb me every Friday while I screamed in pain. One week, the pain was so intense that I screamed even louder than usual. Rebenson then slapped me hard. Yet even though you were sitting nearby, you remained silent in the face of my humiliation.
When the Baal Shem Tov heard this, he lowered his head and began to weep and cry. Do our sages not teach us that disgracing another person is akin to shedding his blood? And that such a thing should happen right in front of him? And the Baal Shem remained silent. On top of all this, one is commanded to be especially protective of the feelings of orphans, for their lives are so bitter.
It was at that moment that the heavenly court condemned you to lose your portion in the world to come. When I married the man who has been your host for the past 4 days, who is, by the way, a tzaddik nister, a hidden righteous man, this terrible sentence was revealed to us. We were both disturbed greatly by it and made up our minds to do something so that you may regain your portion of Gan Eden. Through our many prayers, we were able to convert your sentence to a lighter one. Instead of losing your portion in the world to come, you were to lose the pleasure of one Shabbos in this world, since Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. And so, since no one in the world would dare deprive the holy Baal Shem Tov of his own Eg Shabbos, we had to take upon ourselves the severe task. But thank God, we have succeeded. And your portion in Olam Haba is complete and unimpaired.
When the young lady finished her explanation, the Baal Shem Tov suddenly felt all his supernatural powers which had left him in the thick forest return. He could see that what the young woman had said about the heavenly goings-on had been correct. So the holy Baal Shem Tov and his 3 disciples joyously accepted the invitation. That Shabbos was the complete opposite of the previous one, and they merited to uncover together many secrets of the Torah which had previously not been revealed to any mortal man except Moshe Rabbeinu.